And Gale Storm and Charles Farrell, transcribed in Hollywood. Margie's father, Vern Albright, is an investment counselor with the Wall Street firm of Honeywell and Todd. It's a good job, but it isn't always peaches and cream. In fact, sometimes the cream gets a little sour. To show you what we mean, let's drop in on Vern, who has just been summoned to Mr. Honeywell's office.
You sent for me, Mr. Honeywell?
Yes, Albright. An important client of ours is coming to town. You remember her, the wealthy widow, Mrs. Purvis?
Oh, sure. Laryngitis Purvis.
Laryngitis? Why do you call her that?
Because she's a pain in the neck.
Oh, now, let's not be harsh on the woman. Just because she happens to be a little grouchy and ill-tempered and loud-mouthed and all the complaining, there's no reason to say that she's... You know something? She is a pain in the neck. Now, listen, Albright, she doesn't get to New York too often. When she does, she likes to be taken around and shown the sights.
Well, I'll be glad to show her the Hudson River from the bottom.
None of that. Although she probably would like to look at the waterfront.
Okay, I'll take her for a long walk on a short pier.
All right. Mrs. Purvis is an important client. She inherited the entire estate of Mr. Purvis.
Oh, did he leave his wife much?
Nearly every night. All I mean is, she's worth a fortune, and she's invested it with us. So you have to be nice to her.
Oh, but, Bob, I can't even stand to look at her. Well, the last time she was here, I took a sightseeing to that farm up in Westchester. When she stood in the cornfield, the birds took her for a scarecrow.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. She frightened the crows so much, they brought back the corn they had stolen 3 days before.
However, Mrs. Purvis does have to be entertained. And say, I know just the person to do it. Margie.
Margie?
Yeah, Margie would be the ideal person to take care of her while she's in town. So get her to do it, now, immediately.
Well, I'll try.
Mrs. Purvis gets in at noon today. Have Margie pick her up at the Waldorf and show her around.
Okay, Mr. Honeywell.
And remember, I don't want any slip-ups. I'm warning you. If Margie doesn't come through, I'm going to have you tarred and feathered, boiled in oil, drawn and quartered, kicked, punched, and beaten. And then I'm going to get mad.
We came as soon as we could.
Yeah, what's up? You sounded upset on the phone.
Mrs. Odette, yes. Freddie, a terrible thing happened. I woke up this morning and suddenly realized that tomorrow is Dad's birthday. What am I going to do?
Go back to sleep again.
How could I have forgotten such an important date as Dad's birthday? I haven't even prepared for it.
You're getting absent-minded, Margie. You know, people tie strings around their fingers to help them remember.
Yes, and some people tie a rope around their neck to help them forget.
Well, that's what I feel like doing. Mrs. Odette, Freddie, I've only got one day to get ready. Now, you've got to help me plan a surprise party for Dad and buy him a present and invite people and prepare refreshments and all the other hundreds of things that have to be done.
Don't worry, Margie. We'll pitch in.
Thank you. I feel better already.
Oh, boy, a surprise party. We'll play games and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I don't want to play spin the bottle.
Why not?
I keep falling off.
Oh, and Freddie, while we're dining, don't jab your fork all over the table.
Suppose I want something.
Well, if you see something out of reach, you have a tongue.
Yeah, but there's no prongs on it.
Are you sure the party will be a surprise to your father?
Well, I'm pretty sure it will be. Dad's just as forgetful about his birthday as I am. I'll bet the date slipped his mind completely.
No wonder it slipped his mind. He uses too much grease on his hair.
You just make jokes like that at the party, Buster, and we'll play pin the tail on the donkey. And you know who the donkey will be.
Now, as I said, I'm sure Dad's forgotten about his birthday, but just to play it safe, not a peep about this to him, or it'll spoil the surprise.
You hear that, Freddie? Don't you peep one little peep, or I'll pop you.
Well, come on, let's get downtown. There's so little time. I couldn't possibly spare a second for anything else in the world besides Dad's party.
Hello, Margie. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mr. Albright.
Hey, Dad, what are you doing home so early in the day?
Oh, something important has come up. You remember my client, Mrs. Purvis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to spend all day today entertaining her.
But Dad, I can't. I have a previous appointment.
What appointment?
I'm taking her to my uncle's fish market.
Fish market? For what purpose?
Oh, he doesn't sell porpoise, just halibut.
Margie, why are you going to a fish market?
He told you. That's for the halibut.
Do you expect me to believe that?
Yeah. You think it's fishy?
Margie, I don't understand what's behind all this. But I don't like your attitude. You're leading me around by the nose.
Aren't you glad? That way you won't have to smell the fish.
Marty, I don't get it. Why are you acting this way? For what purpose?
No purpose, just halibut.
Take it easy.
Margie, I'm warning you. I want you to pick up Mrs. Purvis at the Waldorf at noon and spend the day with her.
Well, I'll try. Maybe.
He doesn't know that she can't spare the time. Margie needs every minute to prepare a surprise party for his birthday. We find her now downtown with Freddie and Mrs. Odette. It's long past the time she was due to meet Mrs. Purvis at the hotel.
Margie, I'm worried for you. You didn't keep the appointment with your father's client.
Well, it couldn't be helped. I had too much shopping to do. Just picking out Dad's birthday cake and candles took 2 hours.
Oh, I love birthday cakes and candles. On my next birthday, I'm going to have 30 candles on my cake. 30!
What are you going to do? Burn the candles at both ends?
Bless your little sense of humor.
Margie, you better pick out a present for your father. It's getting late.
Yeah, but what? Hey, here's a furniture store. I'll bet Dad would like a new easy chair.
Hey, that's a good idea. Come on, let's go in.
Oh, Clerk?
Yes, may I help you?
Do you carry easy chairs?
No, I'm having enough trouble driving myself around.
I meant, do you have them to sell?
Oh, yes, indeedy. Easy chairs on easy babies. Now, here's a lovely chair. It's a Louis the 14th.
No, I want a larger one. Let me see a Louis the 16th.
Peasants. No, I have just the thing. Look, this is a convertible chair. At the touch of a button, it lays back and becomes a bed.
A convertible chair. Say, that's a marvelous idea. I'll bet my father would love something like that. How does it work?
Oh, it's very simple. It works on electricity.
Oh, that's what I should have given my third husband, Newbold, an electric chair.
Why didn't you?
The state beat me to it.
Well, it's not that kind of a chair. Here's the control panel under the arm. These buttons raise it, lower it, and swivel it around.
Boy, I'm going to try that. Let's see. I sit down in it like this, and I press this button.
There. Now you're lying in a bed.
Well, don't just stand there. Kiss me goodnight.
Press the other button, Freddy.
Okay.
Now bring it up to a sitting position. But be careful, don't bring it up too fast. It's got a very springy action to it.
Ah, don't worry, I like springy things. Here goes. Help!
Freddy, come down from that chandelier.
Oh, leave him up there, he looks so natural. Now, then, about this chair, Miss
Albright. Yes, I think my father would be delighted with a chair like this. Here's my card. Would you deliver it tomorrow evening?
I'd be glad to.
Thank you. Come on, Mrs. Odette, let's go.
Oh, just a moment.
Hmm?
What do you want me to do about the boyfriend hanging up there?
Oh, just throw him a banana every 2 hours and he'll be quiet.
Walk, walk, walk.
But, Mrs. Purvis, please, let me explain.
There's no need to. I understand perfectly the idea of keeping me waiting. It's a shame. What a beautiful day, and I waited and waited, but nobody showed up. I'm mad.
Oh, please, Mrs. Purvis, let me tell you what happened.
Don't bother. It'll do no good. I'm canceling my account. You're all so hateful. You promised I'd be entertained. I don't get here often, you know. There were so many things I wanted to see. Broadway shows, bargain basements. You go to bargain basements, I do. Don't you dare criticize. I never suspected you'd treat me this way. I expected somebody'd be there. I just took it for granted. Some things go without saying.
Yeah, but not you.
All right, you are a lunkhead. A stupid, moronic, subnormal lunkhead. Now clean out your desk and... Hello.
Mr. Honeywell, this is Margie.
What do you want?
I'd like to invite you to Dad's birthday party tomorrow.
What?
It's a surprise. I've been working hard at it all day getting ready. I'm still not through. And you should see the wonderful gift I picked out for him.
I see.
Please don't tell Dad. It'll spoil the surprise. And I do want him to have a good time.
I understand.
You'll be here, won't you? The party wouldn't be complete without you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll be there. Thank you for calling. And goodbye. All right. Do you know who that was?
No. Who?
Your daughter, Margie.
Margie?
Yeah.
What did she want?
Well, she asked me not to tell you, but in view of the circumstances, I will. She's giving you a surprise party tomorrow on your birthday.
A surprise party?
Yes.
Oh, say, that's right. Tomorrow is my birthday. I forgot all about it.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? A daughter giving her father a birthday party. Oh, it's so, so heartwarming.
Yes, that's what I thought. All right, I'm so ashamed.
Oh, me too.
I'm sorry I bawled you out. I was concerned about it, a trivial thing like a client. And here she was doing such a wonderful thing, showing her great capacity for father love.
Yes, father love.
I don't have any children, but I can appreciate it. I hate myself.
Nothing. I just wanted to keep you company.
Oh, Mr. Albright. I like you.
Oh, Mrs. Purvis. You're not a bad egg. I like you.
But I hate myself.
Anybody got a hanky?
Nobody. Use my necktie.
It'll make it soggy.
I don't care. I'm all wet anyway.
I'm a beast for thinking such bad things about Margie, and I've got a problem.
Oh, have you? What is it?
Well, the fact remains that Margie did goof about meeting Mrs. Purvis, and she's going to expect me to bawl her out. And if I don't, she'll get suspicious.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Now, I hate to do it, but for the sake of appearance, I better go home and bawl the heck out of her.
Well, all right, I better go along with you and help you in case you begin to fall her.
Mr. Honeywell. My, you two have a grim look in your eyes.
And for a good reason, Margie. Margie, your callous disregard for my wishes is outrageous and...
Contemptible.
Yeah, contemptible. The only time you're a good daughter is when I give you presents. Do I have to give you something in order for you to be good? Why can't you be like me?
You mean good for nothing?
Margie, this is no time for flippancy.
For what?
Flippancy. Don't you know what flippancy is?
Sure. I'll take a coin and flip and see which one of us is wrong.
Margie, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your attitude is impertinent and disrespectful. I'm hurt at your behavior, and I'd like to tell you a little more of what I think of you, but frankly, I can't stand to be in the same room with you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Boy, you gave it to her.
I'll say. And now she's going to go ahead and really give me a big party tomorrow. Boy, I can hardly wait.
Hello, Mr. Albright. Mr. Honeywell.
Oh, Mrs. Odette. I didn't see you come up.
I know. Excuse me. I'm going in to see Margie. Hello, Margie. What's the matter? Your eyes are blazing.
Mrs. Odette, I'm furious. Dad just gave me the worst bawling out I ever had in my life.
Fiendly.
So you know what I'm doing?
No.
I'm canceling his birthday party.
Good. No party for him, the wretch.
I never thought he'd turn out that way. But he's got a heart of stone. He's cruel, brutal, and unfeeling. I'm sorry I'm his daughter.
You poor child. My heart is breaking for you. But don't worry. You don't need him, dear. I'll make you my daughter. I'll adopt you.
Because you love me so much?
No. Because I haven't had a good birthday party in years. Don't do it.
But why should Margie cancel my party? She loves me.
Yes. She worships the very ground you should be buried under. Oh, what's the matter, too? I just have to come up here and tell you. Goodbye.
Oh, I don't blame Margie. Poor kid, I'd have done the same thing.
But what happens now?
Oh, I'd still like to have that party. Now, you think if I went home and started buttering her up that she'd change her mind?
You mean reverse yourself and be kind and gentle to her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might work.
Okay, I'll go home and do it. And then she'll throw the party.
Of course, if it doesn't work, you'll be the party she'll throw right out the window.
Margie, that was terrible of your father to say things like that to you. No wonder you called off the party.
Freddie, I've never seen him that cruel in my life. He's gotten so mean, I'll bet if I cut my finger, he'd cry over it just so he could get salt in the wound.
Yes, sir, that man has certainly changed.
Hi, Margie. Oh, how's the sweetest, dearest, most wonderful little daughter a man ever had?
Whoops, he's changed again.
I beg your pardon.
Can I get you something, baby? A sandwich, a glass of milk, an apple?
He's flipped.
Can I get you something? A glass of water? A straitjacket?
Margie, I'm sorry I lost my temper. Why, you mean so much to me. You're my treasure, my jewel, the only thing I have to live for.
Am I really, Dad?
Oh, of course you are. And you know what I am? I'm just an old fool.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
You're not so old.
Oh, Margie, that silly client of mine wasn't important, but you are. You're a fine daughter. One in a million, and I'm proud of you. You mean everything to me.
You mean everything to me, too, Dad.
The orchestra will now play Hearts and Flowers, accompanied by Mademoiselle Freddy on the Glockenspiel.
Quiet, Freddy. Dad, your new attitude made me reconsider something. I guess you're a pretty nice guy after all, and... Well, I've changed my mind about something.
You have? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. What is it?
Oh, never mind, but you'll like it.
Ah, whatever it is, I'm glad. You know, we have to make the most of the time we have left together. I may not be around too much longer.
What do you mean, Dad?
Well, I'm getting on in years. I'm, I'm beginning to feel my age. You know, the old ticker. It isn't what it should be. It may not be too long, Margie.
Oh, Dad.
Yep, one never knows. A shock, a disappointment.
Dad, I've changed my mind again.
What do you mean?
I might as well tell you. I was going to give you a birthday party tomorrow, but I'm calling it off again.
Oh, why?
Oh, in your condition, the excitement might kill you.
Oh, no! Oh, Margie, I'm so glad you decided to give me that party after all.
Oh, me too, Dad. Gosh, everybody's arriving. The crowd from the office, my sorority, and look, here come some of your friends from the club.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait to get started.
Margie, the man from the furniture store just brought that chair in for your father.
Chair?
My present to you, Dad. Look, there it is.
Wow, it's a beaut. Oh, thanks, Margie. I'm going to try it out.
But, Dad, wait till later.
No, I want to do it before the party begins. Now, quiet, everybody. I'm going to test this chair. Now, let's see. I sit in it like this, and then I push this button to lower it.
Careful, Dad. It's tricky.
Nonsense. Here goes. I can't move.
Oh, his sacral just got a divorce from his iliac.
Freddy, Mr. Honeywell, and Mr. Todd, take him up and put him to bed.
Oh, to bed? I don't want to go to bed. I want to stay at my party.
You're in no condition for a party. Good night, Dad.
Let's go, Albright.
Oh, stop. Now put me down. Let go. Oh, my back. Margie!
All right, everybody, let the fun begin and make it a big celebration.
Yeah, it's her father's party.
The stars Gail Thorne and Charles Farrell, and is based on characters created by Frank Fox and produced, directed, and transcribed by Gordon D. Hughes for Hal Roach Jr. and Roland Reed. My Little Margie is written by Lee Carson. Berna Felton is Mrs. Odette, Gil Stratton Jr. is Freddie, and Will Wright is Mr. Honeywell. Others in the cast were Frank Nelson and Lois Corbett. I'm Roy Rowan.